Welcome to Frame of Reference, informed, intelligent conversations about the issues and challenges facing everyone in today's world. In-depth interviews with Sauk County's leaders and professionals to help you expand and inform your frame of reference. Brought to you by the Max FM Digital Network. Now here's your host, Raoul Labrèche.
Well, welcome everyone to Frame of Reference, our reason for being, or as the French would say, a raison d'être, is to try to get you introduced, our listeners, to important people in the Sauk County area that are in key areas and key types of domains, if you will, and bring a perspective, a frame of reference to the work that they do and why that work is important. And my guest today is a guy that I've gotten to know over the past few years with an organization that we've served with together called the Sauk County Institute of Leadership. And he has been a colleague and someone that I've enjoyed very much working alongside because he has a fresh perspective and I think more importantly, an informed perspective. I'm speaking of none other than Ed White, the executive director of the Sauk County Development Corporation. Ed, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Raoul. It's great to be now an important person.
Yeah, every once in a while, it's nice to at least hear somebody that I had a professor called it the operable illusion.
Right? Exactly.
I would like to have an operable illusion. So I'm gonna feed yours. You feed mine. Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. So Ed, I'd like to start the show with a thing I call my favorite things. Okay. So people get to know a little bit about Ed White, who the real Ed White is. Okay. So this is just gonna be a stream of thought, kind of off the top of my head, no preparation here. You just say the first thing that you think of.
Dangerous. So, dangerous.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I think of.
We can always edit if we need to. So no F-bombs, please. Ed, favorite color?
Green.
Green, okay. A favorite place to go when you're stressed out, you need to kind of relax?
Water.
Water. Anywhere close to a lake or whatever?
Lake, river.
Okay.
Anything.
Okay.
Water.
Favorite thing to do when you're stressed out or just when you have some free time that you didn't expect to have?
Sit around the campfire, have a beer and a cigar.
Any favorite beer?
McLovin is okay. One of my favorites.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Right favorite cigar?
It's called a Casanova.
A Casanova. Ooh. So your wife probably wonders about that one.
She does.
So
it's not labeled. So
yeah, that would be wise. So what's one of your favorite memories of growing up?
I played a lot by myself out in the back.
Okay.
Backyard. I could entertain myself for hours, my mother would say. playing in the dirt, basically.
Okay.
Just making up stories in my head. A lot of army men using twigs and whatever.
Sure.
It was. Grew up fairly poor, so kind of made do, but I could sit for hours by myself. I am an introvert training to be an extrovert.
Interesting. You know, you and I kind of share that. Some of my favorite memories are we grew up close to Lake Michigan, and I loved going down to the lake and all the sand that was there and playing in the sand. And my mom, bless her heart, was good enough soul to pack up a wagon and take us down there. So,
Well, I grew up one of seven children. I actually have nine brothers and sisters. There were five in the core family by the time, you know, you spread them out over time.
Okay.
Five that I grew up with. So she was glad for me to go out in the backyard and play.
get out of her hair. She could look out the window
and see I was still there.
There you go. Get out of her hair. That might be part of why you don't have hair now, right?
Exactly.
So, gotcha. So you are the executive director of the Sauk County Development Corporation, so SCDC.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite thing about being in that position, working with that organization?
I think the one-on-one relationships you develop, the business relationships.
Okay.
I've been a helper. I'm that kind of middle child.
Okay.
And so, you know, I just like to help people.
Okay.
And this is an opportunity to anywhere from, you know, brand new startups to Fortune 500 companies.
Okay.
We kind of deal with all of them.
Okay.
And they all have their unique needs.
Okay.
And this gives me the opportunity to kind of to meddle a little bit.
Sure, sure.
You know, and provide input. The best thing that can happen to a guy like me is to get a follow-up email. Thank you.
Right? Sure.
I've talked to X, Y, Z. I've talked to the state.
Sure.
You answered my question.
Sure.
That's probably the key thing for me.
So it sounds like and I'm going to approach this as if I am ignorant, because I am ignorant, different than stupid, okay, but yes. Just an absence of knowledge here. But what does an organization like yours, because there are development corporations, I'm assuming, in all kinds of areas throughout
right.
the country,
yep.
Maybe not all of them are as lucky to have an actual organization with an executive director and other people,
right.
But what's the reason d'etre for an organization like that?
Well, we were formed actually in 1976, the closure of the Badger Ordnance Plant.
Okay.
Right? Many organizations like mine are organized around a disaster of some sort, a business disaster,
okay.
a major closure. Don't think people realize today, it's been, almost 50 years now,
right.
45, that there were 10,000 people working in that one spot, right?
Right. From right.
multiple counties, they drove all over, but they weren't all Sauk County. But when that closed, the business community stepped up and says, we've got to attract other businesses. We've
sure.
got to attract, companies and jobs and those kind of things. And so Merlin Zitzner was one of the primary, who's been the long-term president and chair of Baraboo State Bank now.
Okay.
So he and a group of others in the county kind of formed us to do that duty. We need jobs. That's a big hit.
Okay.
10,000 jobs. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. That's a big hit for a large city, let alone,
right.
A county like Sauk.
Yeah,
sure.
Which wasn't as big,
Yeah.
I forget what the population was, but it certainly wasn't the one we have today. And so, that's been our mission for over 40 years. In 2015, our mission changed, transferred really from, and economic development over the last 10 years has changed as an industry, because for the last 40 or 50 years, it's been about attracting, right?
Yeah.
It's bringing businesses in. When's the next GM going to move in? When's Foxconn coming? When's GM, Toshiba, whoever it is
everybody wants the big fish.
Right, going to build that big factory on the edge
right.
of town and employ,
right.
10,000 people.
Right.
That has been smokestack chasing is what it's referred
yeah.
to in the industry. And about 10 years ago, that kind of changed to the new type of thing. And I actually went to a couple of conferences, was trained in economic gardening.
Economic gardening?
Yes.
I've not heard that phrase before.
Which is grow your own.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How do we grow? What assets do we use? How do we grow our own businesses?
Sure.
What can we provide them as far as data to help them get off here?
Okay.
And it's not that we won't, right?
Right.
We still get inquiries and people looking for land and outside companies and
sure.
so on and so forth. But it's not our mission.
Right? Sure.
That we will assist communities in trying to attract companies if that's their choice.
Well, and I would think something like the Badger Ordnance Plant closing would have taught us something of a lesson about the big smokestacks.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because that is a huge risk. Well, once burned, shame on you. Twice
yep.
burned, shame on me.
Well, one of the things I've touted a few times was the lack of recognition of the small work that gets done.
Sure.
And I consider that's what we do, is the background work. We as an organization, me as the executive director, we're not responsible for creating these jobs. It's the companies, the owners,
right.
the people who are investing their heart into this.
Sure.
We can help along the line. We can maybe clear a path, work with the city on zoning or
right.
an ordinance or something like
Point
that.
Point them to a resource.
Well, funding, work with lenders and that kind of thing. But we don't create anything.
Sure.
People,
sure.
It's not my job to go out there and start a business.
Right.
And without people willing to do that, we're out of business.
Sure.
Fortunately, there's a lot of people doing that. But we also need to recognize the success we have, especially in this county. Different than other counties. I've worked in five different counties. I was with the Regional Planning Commission in Platteville, which covered five southwestern counties.
Okay.
And large employers there were a couple hundred people. We've got several companies in this county that are over 500,000, scattered around the country, the county. That's unusual. And they're homegrown companies that are
yeah.
the Flambeaux's, which have, seats and Teal Plastics and those kind of companies.
McFarland's.
Been around over 100 years, right?
Thank you for that shameless plug.
So, it is those companies that we need to celebrate. And those companies are constantly hiring and expanding and people people don't, the headlines don't read, McFarland's meet payroll for 100 years in a row.
Right.
You know, so where's the headline saying
right.
that when this came up just after I moved here, Kramer Brothers was celebrating their 50th anniversary.
Right.
And that was the phrase that stuck in my head. When's the last time you heard a headline of Kramer Brothers? They add 50 people.
Right.
It's not a big deal. A new company comes in and adds 25. We're throwing money at them. We're throwing
right.
Publicity. So,
well, in the, you know, the fact that the word development is mm-hmm. in your organization's DNA and, yeah. you know, title, we don't spend enough time, I don't think, thinking about the development that happens as a result of 50 jobs.
Right.
The amount, the impact that that has, not only in those individual families, but the businesses that they, you know, interact mm-hmm. with, the money that they spend in all those places and the jobs that that maintains. I mean, yep. It's interesting that you're doing the gardening approach to right. things, because you do have that sense of having to tend to your own garden. What are the weeds that you have to tend to? You know, where are the, you know, mustard grasses that you have to pull out?
Well, it's typically around two issues.
Okay.
Regulation and money. That's one of the most frustrating parts about the job. You know, somebody will come to you with a, you know, in their mind at least, the greatest idea since sliced bread, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. But they've got no money, they've got no assets, they've got no resources, and they're very that's very difficult, even if it's a great idea and you agree it's a great idea.
Sure.
Unless you've got some sort of asset or resource behind you, it's not likely to happen. And it's frustrating not to be able. We don't have, as an organization, tons of money to help
sure.
invest in companies.
Sure.
There are a lot of things that we can point them to, but when you see those come and go and not develop, that's very frustrating. That's one of the weeds, is money. And then regulation. Good, bad, or indifferent, I understand the need for regulation, but sometimes, you know, there may be something on the books from 40 years ago, you know,
sure.
can't spit on the sidewalk or, you know, but there are yeah. business regulations.
Can't leave your horse unattended.
Right.
Yeah.
There, can't kiss your horse on Sunday. You know, it's.
I don't think that law really exists, but I get your point. I hope it doesn't exist.
Well, I think it does.
Oh, no.
Somewhere.
Oh, my gosh.
I wouldn't be surprised if it does.
Yeah, in the South, probably. Alabama, I'm yes. sure. There you go.
And it was, you know, on the books for a reason
right.
at the time. And there are all kinds of things like that that popped their ugly head up. And, you know, a lot of times most communities aren't out there to stifle business. Obviously, that's
sure.
where their tax base is. And, you know, there's some things that make sense and some things that don't. And
yeah.
one of our jobs is to be that go-between between the business who feels uncomfortable, uneasy approaching the local government, be it county or the village or the town board.
Sure.
Or don't know how to.
Right? Sure.
Just, well, we have good relationships, I feel, with all of our municipalities, major communities, and that's part of my job as well. Like,
sure.
Eh, well, we want to do this, but it doesn't quite fit this hole. Well, is there a way we can do that?
And sure.
A lot of times the business doesn't know where to start.
The mediation process.
Right. Yep.
And the okay.
So the fixer is a bad term, but it's not,
sure.
it's not necessarily a fixer. It's that negotiator, that in between, that ombudsman
right.
Companies need in order to get a project done.
What about the personalities? I mean, I think perhaps that's more transparent or evident being in a smaller community, in a smaller mm-hmm. series of communities. But sometimes it seems to me like there are just personalities that get involved
yep.
in these, you know, decisions or, you know, opportunities that have their, you know, individual biases, their individual yep. background, their, you know, their grudges to grind or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that that's a significant part of what you do, negotiating that kind of thing as well, and getting those cards on the table so that they can finally be dealt with?
Right. That's know. That's where that in-between person can sometimes mitigate that. Sometimes.
Okay.
I took a series of courses, the Economic Development Finance Professional course.
Okay.
That's a national accreditation. And so it's a series of week-long things about business deals.
Okay.
Right? One of the courses was the art of the deal. And
and closing that deal, right?
And that's yeah. and that's really yeah. what it was, is how do you bring these disparate viewpoints and groups, and what's best for the community, what's best for the developer, what's best for the
sure.
business owner or whatever it happens to be. And through that course, something that's still stuck in my head is that the majority, this was their contention, the majority
sure.
of deals that don't get done have nothing to do with finance or the project. It has to do with personality.
Interesting.
That somebody ticked somebody off.
Right.
Right.
Got their nose out of shape.
Yep. And, on either side.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's not.
And probably for justifiable reasons.
It could be. You know, or it's just a perceived slight.
Right.
It wasn't meant that way. It wasn't said that way.
But the bridge is burned.
The bridge is burned.
Yeah.
Yep. And I've been involved on the other side as a former city council person. I once had a developer come in and was working with a local nonprofit on a housing, senior housing project, and made the comment, well, we'll just take this nonprofit and you won't get any taxes. Well, the nonprofit they were working with didn't like that so much.
Yeah.
Because I went to her office the next day and said, you know what your partner just said? That'll never happen. So, you know, was that a slight or was it just a, it was an attorney speaking, right?
Sure.
And then it's just like a negotiation.
Right.
But negotiating with the wrong person.
Right. Right. At the wrong time in the wrong way.
So I happened to be an observer. I was a city council president at the time, and I just got up and moved across the room. And, you know, by the end of the evening, the developer was coming over and sitting next to me saying, oh, he really didn't mean that. But you know, it's the slightest thing that can kind of set off a deal, and we try to mitigate those as much as possible.
Sure. Well, and hopefully you can garden, prepare the soil in a way, right, that makes it most possible to...
Well, it's building trust,
right?
This world doesn't operate unless you trust each other.
Right.
And so building trust with the company, then I've got their best interests at heart in the village or city, knowing that if we bring a project, we're not trying out to get the taxpayer.
Right. Well, there's some underlying agenda that, he's not really,
So, and that takes a while to develop. I've been here about 3.5 years. I think we're finally,
giving away
building
at
trust
it.
At that. But, so you'd asked before, what do we do? It is our primary focus came out of a 2015 task force when we changed directions.
Okay.
I was hired in January of 17. That came out of the task force. And they laid out a very solid work plan, which was built around business retention and expansion is number one goal versus that attraction. We're not trying to bring companies in here to compete with their own companies. And that was reiterated to me just yesterday. I was in a meeting with one of our supporters who said, I still keep hearing from people, why should I join SCDC? All they're trying to do is bring in other companies to compete against me. That hasn't been the case for at least 4 or 5 years.
Right.
So I know our message. So I thank you for allowing me to kind of, in this podcast to kind of get the word out. No, that's not.
Right.
We're not going to turn down business if it comes to us.
Right.
We're going to try and help them find the right spot in the right community with the right tools. But ours is to make sure our existing businesses are doing as well as possible. And if they want to expand and add jobs, that's where we're going to see 80% of our job creation anyway is our existing business.
Sure, sure.
We realize that, and we are not intending to bring in Foxconn, to Southwest Wisconsin.
Right.
And to follow that, areas 2 and 3 for me are workforce development and housing.
Sure.
Right, which support our existing businesses, not new business, up until recently, right?
Right, right.
Workforce was the number one issue in this county, and so we've started several workforce-type programs to try and attract more people to the county, not businesses, but more people, to fill the existing jobs. There was no need to attract more companies because we had more jobs than we had people.
Yeah.
And, and it changes. Next year, it might be attracting jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
But we look at every year. We just did last year a strategic, it had been 3 years, under the old plan. So we looked, pretty much decided that we're still on the right track and still doing the right things under those areas. And so we'll continue that.
Well, you know, I'm going to keep that gardening thing going because my brain can get around that concept. But, bugs show up and so do different plant diseases and not to mention hybrids, So who knows, what the future might bring. Folks, my guest today on Frame of Reference is our very own Ed White, who is the executive director of Sauk County Development Corporation. We're going to take just a quick break to hear a word from the wonderful people that support us and help this show develop. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Need it and don't want to own it? Rent it at McFarland's in Sauk City. McFarland's has everything to help make a party a success, from tables and tents and tablecloths, treat machines, and more. Something more rugged in mind? From edgers to excavators, McFarland's is your one-stop project center for home or landscaping projects. Blowers, trimmers, generators, hoists, it's all here under one big 200,000 square foot roof. McFarland's in Sauk City, your complete rental center. McFarland's, where service is a family tradition. And we're back here at Frame of Reference. Thanks for joining us on this new podcast. And we're happy to have with us Mr. Ed White, the Executive Director of the Sauk County Development Corporation. Ed, let's talk. You mentioned in the first part of this, we were talking about trust and how fundamental trust is to negotiating these kinds of deals that come up, and the ways in which you can see that that trust has been ruptured in individuals that are part of that planning process. From your experience, what are some things people can do, or what should we be thinking about when we take actions that disrupt that trust, and how do we build it back if it has been disrupted?
Well, the first part is really the building of trust, right? And to me, that is not overpromising.
Sure.
In my world, and don't say something can be done if you don't know that it can be done.
Sure.
I always caution a lot, here's as I understand it.
Right.
We're going to work with you to do this, but understand there are no guarantees in this business.
Sure. And, sure.
Versus, yep, I can get you $1 million. I know I can.
Yeah, the yes man.
And then, you know, you go to the lender, you go to the village or city, and
right.
What the heck are you thinking?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So trying not to bluff your way through life.
Sure.
Or these projects. So when things go bad, you don't damage the trust too much. There may be some of that, like, geez, I really thought, because people right. hear different things than you say.
Right.
Right?
Right. Sometimes they're hearing what they hope to hear.
Yes. When I say, I think we can do, they're hearing.
Right. I know it's going to happen.
It's done,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and
right.
so that can fracture trust, and it's really, you just try to remind them that, hey, you know, I told you
right.
that this, do you remember? And you get them, some don't, and
yeah.
trust is lost, and
yeah.
You just have to do more to try and earn that back. Sometimes it's impossible.
Sure.
It just doesn't happen.
Sure.
So, you know, there are people in my business, like any business, that charlatans, if you will,
sure,
people who
sure.
just will say anything to try and close the deal,
right.
and then it doesn't turn out right. And
right.
those people, luckily, don't tend to last long in this business because people stop doing business.
Sure. And well, and so, that can be—I can just see how that can be so disastrous to a community.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, when you think of the business landscape just over the past couple hundred years in the United States, and when you see those kind of major disruptions in trust, where you know either the business leaders or the employees themselves—I mean, tends to be the leadership, unfortunately, but you know, you kind of expect that. Leaders are in the greatest position to disrupt trust.
Yes.
So, but that, you know, that you would think we would learn.
You yes, know? You would think.
You would think that we would learn that trust is so fundamentally important. And I always think of the Chinese have this wonderful concept called guanqi. And guanqi is all about the rapport, the establishing of a relationship with a vendor and a provider. And in Chinese culture, they would rather just about anything happened than to lose guanqi.
Yes.
Because it's just a shameful thing. Yep. Just so shameful upon not only the individual, but the family. You know, what kind of parents did you have? You know, I mean, you can do that. I don't know that it's the same way there, but that's how I translate it, at least. I don't know that we do that very well in American culture and American business climates necessarily. You know, that you hear about the fear and the greed factors, and greed is kind of an antithesis to trust.
Yes, it is.
You
it
know,
is.
Just really destroys it. Do you when you see that happening, are you ever in a position where you can caution and, you know, perhaps short circuit it at all?
Yeah, well, going into it, you try to set the table that, you know, this is the story, this is what they're looking for, let's not overblow
right.
it or
right.
Underemphasize the importance of something.
Right.
You know, you're talking about the Chinese. I had the opportunity in when I was in Platteville to work with the Japanese.
Okay.
Same type of culture.
Okay.
You know, they're looking three generations ahead.
Sure.
They're not concerned about today.
Right.
They are, but it's
right.
not, you
right.
know, it's not their primary concern. And it takes 2 to 3 years with the consultants we were working with. It's going to take 2 to 3 years
to do
to have a frank conversation.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. Right.
And that was true. That pointed out. We worked with them for years. I actually never ended up with a project. Not because of lack of trust. It just wasn't the right time
sure.
in that case. But, you know, Native American culture,
right.
The same way. They're looking at, this is not ours.
Right.
This is our our futures,
right.
The earth and
generations.
But somehow we have gotten to, well, you know, it's the next quarter when we get into a corporate structure, good, bad, or indifferent, right? You know, people forget that corporations fund mutual funds in your retirement plans. And you get mad when they go down.
Right.
But you also get mad when the corporate makes a decision about closing a store because it wasn't profitable.
Right.
So, you know, we don't understand business very well as a society. And so
the big picture.
And so that's part of my job, is to try and make sure people understand each other, and
sure,
the business community understands that the city, the municipality, the village has certain requirements. They're supposed to be guardians of the tax dollar, right?
Yeah.
And the business is there to, you know, a business without revenue is a hobby.
I have to use that with our staff.
So
a business without revenue is a hobby. We're not in a hobby here.
There are plenty of those around,
right?
Social, you know.
We have things to help you with your hobby, but, you know, they're not going to put food on your table.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And so, so, you know, trust is implicit in what we do, and you know, sometimes you can build it and sometimes you can't. I'm not naive enough to think that I'm, you know, a great
I can mess up
person, but I think that is one of my strengths. That's one of the reasons I was hired, I'm told, was that, you know, I do tend to build strong relationships.
Sure.
Takes me a while. I'm an introvert, you know, that lives in an extrovert world.
Have to observe for
a long time.
I get you.
But, you know, in skill, you know, I'm a green, analytical type person. So,
and I'm an orange.
I figured that.
That's why we compliment each other so well. I'm jumping in, and you're saying, "Whoa,
back off a minute."
So,
know, that is a critically important part.
I keep that generational thing. There's a song that I've always loved called Generations by a woman, Sarah Groves. And she says, I can pass on either a curse or a blessing to those I will never know. So, and you have to think about that sometimes. But what's wrong with the business climate in Sauk right now? What are the things that we need to correct or diminish, or, you know, just address? You know, sometimes it's, you know, like, I'm raw, I'm an alcoholic. I mean, you have to, you got to admit it, right? So,
Well, fortunately, pre-COVID, so we're in PC and AC mode right now. COVID has changed the world. It's changed the business world. It's changed counties, economic development.
And we may not even be post-COVID
Not.
Right? You know, it's
we're still there's pre, during,
existing
ACDC,
after COVID. What do you call that? We're in CC, continuing COVID,
continuing,
I guess.
And, you know, prior to that, honestly, this county was doing a lot right. I did not see a lot of negatives in the business climate. Our municipalities have good leadership. Especially administrators and that type of thing. We have great chambers in this county. And, you know, there was a lot of assistance out there. Sauk, for those who are unaware, you know, is the only rural county in the state that has a arts and culture grant program. They're the first county in the state to hire a community liaison to work with communities on projects, Jared Pincus. So
I would mention with the arts thing, because it's one of my favorite things, Milwaukee and Dane County are the only other two.
Right.
So way to go, Sauk.
And Sauk is the only rural county.
Exactly.
And only one of three in existence that do it. And so we were doing a lot of things right before I got here.
Sure.
You know, that's been a longstanding. I think Sauk has been fairly progressive, you know, through the years in their business communities. Reedsburg is a great example of a community who 45 years ago said, we, you know, with the closing of the plant, they're the ones who have really probably done the yeoman's work of building industrial parks. They had a plan. They wanted to attract industry. They're probably the heaviest manufacturing community we have in the county.
Okay.
They have more jobs than workers. So they've accomplished over 50 years what they set out to do.
Okay.
And they're still working on it, right?
Yep.
Still doing it.
Yep.
And, you know, all of our communities have at least some industrial capacity, some business park capacity, that kind of thing. Sauk City, Prairie du Sac, Baraboo, Plain. I mean,
yeah.
Everybody has,
yeah.
has some capacity to attract. And so I always like to – are there certain pockets? Are there certain areas? There's never enough money, you know, to assist business to start up. If there's anything wrong, that's it. But that's not something we're likely to correct, and especially now with COVID.
And it's the perennial problem, isn't it?
Yes.
Where do you find that money, right? It's you know, we expect that there'll be this sort of unending source of it, but the reality is a lot of that comes from what? Profits? It comes from individual donors? It comes from municipalities that have a surplus that, you know, have a tax base that's willing to support it? I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into that.
And there's a lot of... miles to feed. And I talk typically about municipal, you know, to build an industrial park, then you give away the land,
for
a dollar,
which
a lot of people don't understand, but that money comes back, right? They pay taxes much more than the value of the land before the business was there.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
And so they do, and it's not like they're selling it for a buck and never see any profit, never see any business on there. So, you know, some of our businesses are paying, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in property taxes.
Right.
I don't think the general public sees that.
Right.
They see the negative of, Jesus, they're giving away land. I just paid $55,000 for my lot.
So,
some negative perceptions maybe about those kinds of things.
Sure.
If there's anything wrong, it is that the general public doesn't understand everything that goes into those kind of projects. They see the dollars given, the grants, the free land, and that kind of thing.
That's
part of my job.
That's maybe just my opinion, but it's always struck me, too, that it is our job to individually, it's each of our jobs to do the work that's necessary to understand.
Mm.
You know, the old Native American proverb, don't judge a man until you've walked a mile in his moccasins. Well, you know, don't judge a situation until you've heard and really perceived. That's part of what this show is about, to give that frame of reference that maybe encourages people or gives them the opportunity to learn a little bigger picture.
Exactly.
So what's right now? How do we enhance those things? You know, we are dealing with a continuing crisis nationally, the impact of which is really not completely known yet. You know, we've done some things to hopefully prop things up. And yet the long-term results of those things, to me, it's kind of like chemotherapy. You know, you try it. It's the best known solution you have available, but we really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it works well. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it comes back. So what are the things that we're doing right now in that, and how can we continue to enhance those things as we move forward?
Once again, it's a number of the things I talked about we were doing right before.
Right.
Is communities make investments in their communities. Amazingly, the school referendums that have passed in the last 3 years that I've been here.
Okay.
Right. Reedsburg built a new intermediate school, $32 million, $40 million in Wisconsin Dells, just passed $64 million. Here in Sauk Prairie for additions. I think there's been close to $60 million in two referendums in Baraboo.
Right.
Those are the things we're doing right, because it's an educated populace. And so when companies come, it's not just how much money can I take out of the community, but how educated is the workforce? Can I draw an educated workforce?
Right.
You know, is this a place I want my family to live?
Right.
Right. And those are things that I think seems that the Sauk County has made those investments. People have stepped up. They understood the importance of education, whether federal and state government realizes it or not.
Right. Right.
But
Well, and it's interesting, isn't it? Because that I was talking with one of our local administrators, and he noted that same Sauk Prairie referendum and how that really represented kind of our own little mini public works program. Mm-hmm. You know, that he cited FDR, you know, and the getting America back to work after the Depression or during the Depression was key to that recovery. Right. And we kind of have that in these communities where that happens, because all that money that the taxpayers are supporting, their taxes are going towards it. But that flourishes, right, or helps to flourish, because the lunches that are eaten by the workers exactly, and the families that are maintained.
If they can get into the restaurants.
Exactly. Well, you know, outside. We'll just have to declare summer all year long, yeah, or something, yeah, you know. Yeah. But or come up with new spaces that have 6 foot apart tables. So, I don't know.
So, yeah, so that's you know, I think in community investments are one of the things we're really doing right.
Okay.
And to hear an economic developer talk about schools, it's kind of like, oh, I didn't expect that.
Right. Sure,
so,
sure.
But I've always been a believer in lifelong learning, and that we need to, you know, going into a community, driving by the school, if it's a serious community about an educated populace.
Sure.
And employers don't want people who don't care about where they live, number
right,
one.
Right.
And so,
well, that, it pays back all kinds of bad dividends if you have that sort of thing. So, yeah. Do you find that that investment, that apparent investment, what keeps people from doing it?
It's usually a segment of the population that gets very vocal about taxes, right?
Okay.
That that weight of I can't afford, right? I'm on
higher
fixed
taxes,
income.
Right.
It's a lower income community potentially.
Right. Well, and why should I pay for schools? My kids
aren't there. You
right.
Know, I don't.
Right.
My
well, makes sense.
Might be, but
yeah.
You know, so the legitimate, most of the time, legitimate reasoning for not supporting it.
Right.
But I think in this county, obviously, you know, almost every school district has passed a referendum in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And by substantial margins, typically. Mm-hmm. Spring Green had difficulty, the River Valley School District, but it eventually passed an operating referendum. But these are not tight 51-49%,
right.
You know, they're garnering good support, which is a good sign.
I think we were 60% right around
yes.
there, yeah.
You know, so you're always going to have, you know, the negative Nellies.
Right. Well, 40% of the people didn't want it here.
Exactly.
So, yep. And that to ignore that.
Yeah,
is,
you can't ignore it. You just have to prove the worth.
Right.
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 And, you know, when I was on the council in Platteville, I read an article in a magazine talking about cave people.
Yeah.
Which are citizens against virtually everything. And the way you dealt with cave people was to invite them into the conversation, right?
Sure.
Many times these are people who have we talked about the not understanding business deals.
Sure.
There are people who just don't understand the need, you know, that community schools and whatnot have, or the village to do a public works project or
sure.
to do something else.
Sure.
I don't care what it is, there's going to be a portion of the population that doesn't think it's necessary.
Sure.
We can operate on gravel and dirt roads.
Right.
Right.
Right. We did for years.
We did for years.
We were fine.
Let's go back to horses.
Right.
You know, it's
why not?
So,
and some days I feel like that too. You know, some days I think, you know, having
you look a
little
horn, Amish.
It was simpler, you know. It was just simpler, and part of the overwhelming thing of living in today's society is that nothing is simple, hardly it seems anymore, and that's tiring. So. Ed, we're about ready to, I think, wrap things up. We could keep going, I know,
yeah.
especially you and I. but if there's one thing that people could take away from this conversation that you think would maybe keep the wheels turning, or just to try to kind of keep in the back of your memory the next time a referendum comes up, or the next time an ordinance comes up, or mm-hmm. the next time a new business that might be moving into the community comes, you know, around the corner, oh, they're going to ruin all kinds of things. I mean, I remember the Walmart, you know,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and the Walmart had a serious impact on a lot of our businesses
yes,
in smaller communities. I mean, Menards had a big impact on us at McFarland's, you
yes.
know. So those are, again, legitimate concerns when those bigger footprint places come in into a community. But
But.
So what is that? What do you think? The nugget. We're looking for the nugget.
The nugget.
Yeah.
Educate yourself. You may still come out against something, but at least we've talked about it a couple of times.
Sure.
Is to get the facts before you make your decision. Don't make your decision and find facts that fit it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Challenge your bias.
Yes.
You know, that's a hard thing to do, you know, because we have good reasons to believe what we believe.
Yep.
And we know we have good reasons. And I've been cultivating these ideas for a long, long time, right? But that garden, you know, is going to ultimately grow better, usually.
Yep.
Usually.
With a little fertilizer, a little knowledge.
Yeah.
And there are folks out there who would. Certainly, you know, on the economic development side, the business side, I'm always open to listening and to working with folks who want to understand better.
Sure.
Now, if they're going to come into my office and scream at my face for 15 minutes, I'll lock the door and stay away.
Right.
but if you want to have a legitimate, intelligent conversation about why, and I may convince you or I may not.
Right.
You know, as an economic developer, I don't always even agree with some of these projects.
Sure.
But
that must be really hard.
It is.
Really hard. Because you have to toe that line.
Yep. My board of directors says this is the direction we're going.
Right.
You know, I'm an employee.
Right.
You know, mine is to do or die, and not the reason why.
Well, and hopefully it's nothing that's the moral dilemma of the century, but more of a, I don't see it that way, but okay.
Yeah. And that is typically, or I wouldn't be working here.
Right.
You know, I have always, through my career, I've had multiple careers, right?
Sure.
And it's when that career gets to the point where it's no longer fun, where I don't like walking into the office.
Sure.
I find something else to do.
Sure.
And so...
Well, it looks like you're having fun right now, so that's a good thing.
Okay. It's a blast.
Yeah, there you go. So, which is life is too short, right? So to continue doing that. And nowadays they say the average American makes major career changes 3 to 5 times during the course of their career. So that's not all that uncommon anymore. So
Educate yourself.
Yeah. Well, Ed, I can't thank you enough for imparting your wisdom, your experience, and your perspective. I think that's, you know, again, the reason for this show was to give that frame of reference for folks to take it away from the show and maybe apply it somewhere, hopefully.
Yep.
So, again, thank you, Ed White, our Executive Director of Sauk County Development Corporation. Ed, if they want to ask you more questions, how can we get a hold of you?
So, ewhite at sedc.com.
Okay.
You know, our phone number is on our website, sedc.com.
Okay. And I'll put that with the frame of reference listing. There should be there on
so
the
podcast. All of our contact information, our major reports, all that kind of stuff is on sedc.com.
Okay.
Best way to get a hold of us and to find things out for yourself, to educate yourself.
Right.
And, you know, I want to thank you. It's rare, Raul, that we can sit and talk for almost an hour. because it is. This is a economic development's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
People don't understand that either. Do something today.
Yeah. So it would be nice.
Yep.
And I'll take a hamburger with that, please.
Right,
my way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So you know, it's nice to be able to get a little more in depth and let folks know.
Well, thank you. Well, we're going to take a quick break and come back with a wrap-up for today's show. So thanks for joining us. But don't go anywhere because you're going to want to hear the wrap-up on Frame of Reference.
There's never been a better time to support small businesses and save big with MaxFM Big Deals. Discount certificates from the MaxFM Big Deals store will save you up to 50% off retail every day of the week. Local restaurants and wineries, healthy living and spa services, gifts for the holidays, and a whole lot more. New deals are added weekly. Check it out now at MaxFMBigDeals.com. That's MaxFMBigDeals.com. Start shopping and start saving.
The word business has its origins in an old English word, bisignus, which meant care or anxiety or occupation. So it seems that its roots go deep into who we are, what we do, and how we do it. Dictionary.com defines business as a person's regular occupation, profession, or trade. It's how we make our living.
business as usual. Mind your own business. Is that any of your business? He's got no business saying that.
Business is all around us. It drives us from dawn to dusk each and every day. So make it your business to support the businesses that support you and yours. I'm Raoul LaBrèche, and you've been listening to A Frame of Reference.